Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to episode 62 of the Tech Guide Podcast. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. It's great to have your company once again. I'm Stephen Fenwick and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au, the site that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology news and reviews. On this week's show, we're going to take a look at the battle between Samsung and LG with their new curved OLED TVs. We'll also look at the dangers of being an online social butterfly, and we'll also find out about the new Optus My Plans and chat with Optus CEO Kevin Sullivan, not only about the plans, but also the new Optus philosophy. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to check out the products that can make taking photos on your iPhone even better. We'll look at the new, or we should say listen to the new Bose QC20 in-ear noise-canceling headphones, and also the latest Google Nexus 7 tablet. And we'll wrap it up as we usually do with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by our proud sponsors, Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. A lot to talk about right here on Tech Guide. Well, late last week, the talk all around town in the tech world was all about curved OLED TVs. Now, we'd seen curved OLEDs presented as almost concept products at the Consumer Electronics Show back in January. Both LG and Samsung had actually, I think, almost simultaneously unveiled curved OLED TVs. They must be watching each other very, very closely. Well, nothing's changed in the months that have passed. Now, late last week, we were sent an invitation for an event last week by Samsung to be held at the Opera House. It was last Thursday morning. But the night before, on the Wednesday, LG were emailing journalists and also calling them, myself included, about their latest announcement, which happened to be their curved OLED television as well, which they announced would be in the market within weeks. My information is within the next 2 weeks. Now, for those who don't know, OLED is a brand new format of television. It's short for Organic Light Emitting Diode. So you've heard of LED TVs. Well, this adds the organic to that acronym. Now, the difference with this type of format is the fact that it produces its own backlight pixels, color, that they produce their own power themselves. So there's no need to put a chunky backlight behind those pixels. The result is the company can produce these sexy, thin and light panels that have amazing clarity, a tremendous contrast, deep black levels. The picture quality is really amazing, better than the top LED TV on the market. That's why OLED has been a long time coming, but also quite expensive. Now, Samsung held the event that they invited to us to the week before, and it was no surprise that it was the curved OLED that they've announced. In Samsung's case, their curved OLED, both 55-inch models, by the way, both LG and Samsung. Samsung's 55-inch curved OLED, though, was available from that day. They sprang a bit of a surprise and said, well, you don't have to wait weeks. You can buy it from lunchtime today. Now, this was a breakfast press conference. So by lunchtime that day, you could have walked down to the Samsung Experience store in George Street in Sydney and put down $10,999 to buy this all-new OLED TV. 55-inch model, and it is... reason it's curved, people have asked me, why curved? Why not a flat screen? Well, One of the main reasons is it's curved because they can make it a curved screen. That's another addition, another feature advantage of OLED, the OLED format. But the other reason is that it creates a more immersive experience. Now, having the edges of the screen almost as close to the viewer as the center of the screen tends to gives it that immersive wraparound effect. It's a subtle curve. If there's several people sitting in the room, they're not all going to experience the same type of immersion, but it does certainly look terrific. And Samsung's design sort of follows their other ultra-high definition TV that's in the market. Not that this is ultra-high definition. This OLED is full high definition, not 4K. But it certainly does produce an amazing picture. LG's TV, we haven't actually laid eyes on just yet, but I'm sure we're going to be getting a chance to do that within the coming weeks. I'm actually off to IFA tomorrow. That's the Consumer Tech Trade Show in Berlin. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of OLEDs on offer for us to look at. If you want to go check out my stories, there are two stories, one on the LG offering and one on the Samsung curved OLED. You can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, from OLEDs to butterflies, and we're talking social butterflies here, and some research that was uncovered by Trend Micro, the internet security company. Now, the Trend Micro PR team are always an imaginative bunch of people, and because the story was about social butterflies, it involved a very special delivery to illustrate the fact of the whole butterfly angle. Now, I was asked to be, if I was going to be home at a certain time of the day, I told them I was, and the team from Trend Micro's PR team arrived on my doorstep with a small triangular box. Now, on the outside of the triangular box, it said live butterfly inside. Now, this was to illustrate the fact that social butterflies online are becoming victims of more online threats. So before I was given the press release, I was asked to open up this small triangular box, and what flew out was a live butterfly. It flew out of the box, landed on one of the pillars on my porch, and stood there for a little while, sat there for a while, and then flew off into the wild. But the whole point of that was to obviously play up the social butterfly angle, and well, it certainly got my attention. But it also led us to talk about some interesting stats as part of this research. Now, Trend Micro are saying that 60% of people who use social networks online have fallen victim to an online threat, and 66% of those people were assuming there was no risk at all. Now, we're a very social bunch here in Australia. The study showed that 23% also said that they've gone online to make a purchase and didn't that product that they bought online didn't arrive. Another 15% said they clicked on a link that posted content on their Facebook pages without permission. So these are the little things that we need to take note. These online threats, while they may seem innocent, they could be a malicious motive behind them. 1 in 10 said that they've had their social networks hacked. I'm sure you've had friends of yours posting strange things. Twitter, I often get messages, private messages from people I'm following saying, check out this photo of you, and there's a link to some mysterious site. That's a hacked account, unfortunately. And another 10% have said they've clicked on a link on social networks that was malicious. So it led them to a site that offered malicious content and software that might have been uploaded to their computer, and it's harmed their computer or they've lost documents. So we really need to be on our toes. 29% of these people surveyed, and there were more than 1,000 Australians surveyed for this study, said they regularly download or stream content either from unpaid or free sites. And 25% said they shop online 2 or 3 times a week. In other words, they're online a lot and they're exposed. So they really need to take note of the best ways to protect themselves. And these are tips from Trend Micro. Don't shop online or do your banking. I found this really interesting. In an unsecured network or in a public hotspot, cyber criminals have been known to hijack your shopping session or banking session in these free public hotspots. Now, you can either lose money or have malicious files uploaded to your device and things that can track your identity and get those private details, even access your contact list. So something we need to keep an eye on there. Also, bookmark your favorite shopping sites. Don't just go searching for them all the time, because funny enough, cyber criminals bank on the fact that a lot of people misspell names in search engines and register sites that will take note of these misspellings and lead them to a malicious site, a spoof site that may look like the site you're looking for, but it's actually a malicious site serving up malware. Don't click on suspicious links. That's a no-brainer. We've got to use our common sense there. Even though the enticing name of that file makes us want to click it. That's the reason why it's got an enticing name, so that we do click it. So be careful about that as well. Don't share too much personal information online or on social networks, like things like phone numbers and addresses, because identity thieves can use this. They're trawling the web for that sort of information, and that can come back and haunt you. Make sure also that your security software is up to date. Trend Micro's very own maximum security software can not only protect your computers, but also your smartphones and tablets. It can protect up to 5 devices. So well worth the investment there. That's one thing to take note of. We can't be too careful out there. We need to protect ourselves out there. We don't want to fall into any nasty shocks or surprises.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Tech Guide.
Our next segment is all about Optus. Now, Optus have launched a new My Plan 35. Now, Optus announced their new My Plan structure a little while ago, but this is the first sign of their new $35 My Plan. Now, this is aimed at the entry-level user. Now, let me explain how a My Plan works. Each My Plan has a certain amount of inclusions, text, unlimited text usually, call minutes, and data. Now, the beauty of the My Plans from Optus is the fact that if you do happen to bust these limitations, if you exceed these allowances, it doesn't just rack up a huge bill and charge you in that fashion. What it does, it takes you up to the next level of payment. So, for example, on the My Plan 35, which comes with, by the way, unlimited SMS and MMS, 200 standard call minutes, and 200 megabytes of data. Now, if you happen to go over your data, you pay an extra $5 for 300 megabytes. So rather than you paying per megabyte that you use and get a massive bill, you just pay an extra $5 and you get 300 meg of data. Same thing goes for calls. If you bust your 200 standard minute allowance, and you just pay an extra $10 and you get 250 minutes of extra voice calls. So if you did bust your data and your voice calls there, you're only up for an extra $15. In the past, we've seen that bill exceeded by a lot more than that. So that's a good move on Optus's part there. As we mentioned, that is an entry level, aimed at entry level users who, if they do happen to go over, they're not going to be hit by these high charges. And the beauty of that is also that when the plan hits the next month, it reverts back to that original plan. So there might be a quiet month where you don't go over your cap and you just pay your $35. The times that you do, you may pay an extra $5 or an extra $10. We were lucky enough to catch up with the Optus Consumer Australia CEO, Kevin Russell, to tell us more about it. Here's what he had to say earlier. Well, Kevin, thanks for joining me. It's great to see you again. We're here to talk about, Optus have just announced a new $35 My Plan, obviously aimed at the lower end customer, but designed to take out the pain points of having a plan.
So Steve, back in July, we introduced My Plan to the Australian marketplace. We believe it's a groundbreaking new plan construct that eliminates bill shock for Optus customers. But we were aware then that we had a $50 plan, $60 plan, but there were customers in $35 plan who at that point could not access it. So we have introduced it on the $35 plan, which we think is exciting, because we are concerned that more and more Australians are exposed to the cost of going through their allowances and getting hit with some of those penal charges. And we think that's particularly relevant in terms of our customers and other industry customers using data. So the My Plan construct is one where if you go through your allowance, you just automatically get moved up to the allowance, the next highest plan. you know, you don't have to do anything, you don't have to worry about it, you just have to enjoy the service, use the service, and you'll be moved up, you know, for a $5 increment, $10
increment. So having to monitor your plan religiously every day is a thing of the past now, because if you do happen to break your data plan, it's only an extra $5 to $10 to make up for it.
Exactly. It gives you complete peace of mind, complete freedom to enjoy the service, use the service, with the confidence and knowledge that you're not going to get hit with a bill of several hundred dollars come the end of the month. And we think people, we've got a great service that people enjoy using. They don't want to have that anxiety and worry about how much it's costing them.
Sure. Let's talk about the company. There's a new look with the logo, and with that, I'm assuming there's a kind of a new approach to customers, isn't there now?
The new logo is exciting for us. I mean, we are softening how we look, but more importantly, we're adopting a more engaging and personal approach to customers. And within the organisation, we are addressing hard how we focus on the customers, how we have a more, you know, customer-centric culture and approach. And we think that's pivotal in terms of how we start to build the brand that we mm-hmm. were proud of in the marketplace.
Was it not always that way? There were complaints, the pain points were there?
I think if you go back to the origins of Optus 20 years ago, customer has been core to our DNA. You know, we were born with a view to doing the right thing by Australian customers and frankly making it better than the incumbent. I think we have lost our way, you know, over the last few years. There is a clear spirit and focus and intent across 8,000 employees at Optus just now to get it right for our customers. You know, and the brand is a symbol of change for us. It's a rallying cry for all of us as employees. Yeah, and as we go forward, hopefully it will present a softer, more engaging, more fun, mm-hmm. you know, approach to our customers.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the network, because that's the kind of the bread and butter for the company. And you've gone through a lot of change, a lot of improvement over the years. There were times in the past where people complained it wasn't the best, but through the changes you've made recently, they've all been addressed.
We've made great improvements in our core network over the last 12 months. So in building coverage in key cities across Australia has been a big priority for us, and we've seen those improvements not just come through in terms of our own records, but also in terms of, you know, strong feedback from customers and strong feedback from our employees in retail and contact centre, who very quickly tell you if your network's not improving. But there's more we want to do, so we will, you know, roll out hard on our 4G network over the next 18 months, and we want to get a ubiquitous 4G network across all of Australia, and we think that's part of, you know, opening up 4G data services for all of our customers. So you'll see continual improvements, you know, next 18, 24 months.
Sure. How has the customer changed, you think, in the last few years?
I think customers are increasingly sensitised to the quality of the network. I think some of the highly publicised challenges that Vodafone had on network quality have meant customers are aware of network quality. That's one key change. I think another key change has obviously been smartphones now make it so much easier to enjoy and use data. So more and more customers are using or accessing data on a smartphone, and that, you know, we're seeing that week in, week out in terms of increasing data usage. And I'll go right back to the start of the conversation, which is that trend is going to increase, and we think that's going to increase the exposure that Australian consumers have to potential bill shock through excessive data charges.
Sure. What about 4G take-up? That's obviously very healthy. How do you see that going?
4G take-up, if you look at the market in the most recent results, you know, Telstra and ourselves collectively have over 3 million, you know, 4G users on smartphones. I think that's going to more than double over the coming 12 months. So you've got the expansion of networks for all of our players. You've got more, you know, lower end, lower priced 4G handsets out there. So you're going to see a big, big ramp up in the number of people who can access 4G and the number of people who have 4G handsets.
And the network can handle that, of course.
The network absolutely can handle that. So we've got, you know, at Optus, we've got a great portfolio of sites to handle that from a network standpoint. We also have a lot of spectrum. So we're building a network that we are looking at increases in usage for our customers of 30 to 40 times where we are today.
Sure. Can I talk about the recent events with ISP1, Telstra's wholesaler, Kogan Mobile collapsing, Optus has a lot of prepaid customers that resell your service. Now, could that possibly happen in the Optus world, that these prepaid resellers may have to close down, or how's it looking in your world there?
We've got a strong number of key partnerships with MVNOs, and we work very closely with them, and we've worked hard over the last, particularly over the last 6 months, to make sure that our directions at Optus and the direction of our MVNO partners are very much aligned. Mm-hmm. Where I think examples like Kogan come through is where you have operators who don't have a point of differentiation in the brand, or don't have a strategy in terms of bundling with other products, and all you have is a price-driven strategy that, you know, at price points, it may not be sustainable. So for us, in terms of working with our wholesale partners, we're working hard to make sure that our relationship from an economics standpoint is sustainable for Optus and for our MVNOs, and I think we're in a very good place today.
So the key message for Optus moving forward is keep the customer happy, address the issues they may have, and keep them as a customer.
The key focus for Optus is for us to remember day in, day out, that we are a service brand. We service over 9 million Australian consumers, and we must fixate day in, day out on making sure that we deliver a great service to those consumers. I think we're doing a lot of things well. I think we can do things better as we go forward, and we're absolutely committed to that.
No worries. Kevin, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Steve.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one home Wi-Fi brand. Well, do you want better Wi-Fi coverage around your home? We've all experienced those annoying Wi-Fi dead spots. And these days, with the amount of mobile devices we're using, including tablets and smartphones, connecting to the home network, a solid Wi-Fi connection is more important than ever. Netgear has a range of Wi-Fi extenders that will boost your existing wireless signal and keep you connected around the home. They'll work with your current wireless equipment, and a CD-less install makes it set up a breeze on mobile devices. Netgear has a Wi-Fi extender to suit any size household, from the compact wall plug Wi-Fi booster for mobile up to the 4-port dual band Wi-Fi range extender, which is perfect for streaming HD video content and maximizing your online home theater experience. So if you want to boost your Wi-Fi coverage and stay connected in every corner of your home, check out Netgear's Wi-Fi range extenders at netgear.com.au/boost-my-Wi-Fi.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennett. Tech Guide.
Well, let's kick off the Tech Guide reviews for this week with a product that will actually enhance your iPhone 5, and enhance it in the photography sense. Now, iPhone 5, or any iPhone for that matter, is one of the most popular products in the world that's used for photography. It's a product that's honest. People who own iPhones tend to take more photographs as well. So a company has developed a product that can improve the camera on the iPhone. It does have its limitations. It is a phone mainly that has to be remembered. But the camera does have its limitations. And these new products from a company called Enki, that's Enki, can help you improve the quality of the camera on board. Now, how does it do that? It does it. The product itself is actually a 3-in-1 photo lens. It's designed for the iPhone 5, and it's meant to slip onto the top of the iPhone so that one of the lenses can be aligned along the iPhone camera lens. Now, there are two models available, the Tele-Eye and the Wide-Eye, that have a telephoto lens and a wide-angle lens on each of them. They've also got in common a fisheye lens and a macro lens. So the main lens on the Tele-Eye, let's start with that, is a telephoto lens. So it can enhance, has a 5x super telephoto lens. So the normal image that you'll see through your iPhone is doesn't really bring you close enough to your subjects. And when you do use the pinch zoom, you're not actually getting any optical zoom. You're just enlarging the image that the iPhone can see. So it's a digital zoom. So you're not enhancing the quality as an enhance. In fact, you're reducing the quality by zooming in. And as I mentioned, the other lens on that. So what you do, there's one lens on one side, a lens on the other side. When you want to use the other lenses, you simply lift it off the top of the iPhone, turn it around, put it back on again so that the other lens aligns itself in front of the iPhone camera. And those other lenses is the fisheye, which is a 180-degree fisheye, and a 10 times macro zoom for those super close-up shots. Now, on the wide eye, it has the same macro and fisheye lens on one side, but its main lens, its feature lens, let's call it, is a two-time super wide-angle view lens. So rather than you having to get way back to take a photo of something, for example, or you want to capture more of the scene in front of you, then the wide-eye lens can do that. So it really enhances what we've already got on the iPhone, maintains the iPhone photo quality, which is excellent to begin with. But it does increase the power of the lens by putting these Enki lenses right in front of the iPhone onboard lens. Now, both these products are priced at $74.95. And if you want to check out pictures of these products, but also the photos that I took with these products, you can see how the wide eye works, the tele-eye works, compared to the normal camera. You can do that at techguide.com.au. Our next product is from a very well-respected audio company, and that's Bose. Now, Bose are very well-known for making excellent noise-canceling headphones. They've got the QC3 and the QC15. And what they've done is they've actually brought that technology and squeezed it into an in-ear headphone. So imagine having earphones that can produce the same noise, well, same sound quality to begin with, but also the same noise cancelling abilities in an in-ear headphone. So it's a little bit more discreet. So rather than having a full ear cup over your ears and a headband across the top of your head to achieve that noise cancellation, Bose have managed to squeeze that technology into the QC20, the acoustic noise cancelling in-ear headphones. The two earbuds are not much bigger than normal earbuds you'd find on a regular in-ear headphone. But what they've got on the top, they've got a microphones built into each of the buds so that it can detect all the ambient noise, the outside noise, send all that information to the control module on the cable down near the 3.5mm headphone jack, and then make the calculation, create the opposite wavelength to cancel out the noise. Now, the earbuds themselves have a silicon tip called the Stay Here. So it's STAY and HEAR. So they not only make it sound good, which is the hear part, but the stay part means they also give you a comfortable fit. So rather than you having to really stick the earphones into your ears for a good fit, as you do with some other brands, this actually fits nicely in your ear, creates a secure fit. Creates a little bit of a seal as well to sort of help increase that noise cancellation, but keeps them in place really nicely. Now, the control module I mentioned is about 8 centimeters long, a couple of centimeters wide, and sits right down on the cable, on the end of the cable near where it connects to your device, your iPhone or your smartphone or your tablet, whatever you happen to have it connected to. The module is only quite thin. There's also a switch on the side that actually also contains the battery, because you need to have power. You need to power this to have your active noise cancellation. It will still work if they run out of battery, so don't worry about that. It'll still work and sound as good as a normal Bose set of headphones or earphones. But having that module, you flick on the switch and you hear the noise being sucked out of the room. It's quite incredible. What we also have on the QC20s, is a way for you to then listen in to the outside world again. Traditionally, with a pair of noise-canceling headphones, to hear the outside world, what's going on, most of them, you have to take an ear cup off or take the headphones off altogether to hear the outside world. What you can do now with the QC20s, on the cord, there's an inline remote control. So it controls volume. You can navigate your music. But on the side of that little control is a button called the Aware button. One press of that, and it turns off the noise cancellation so you can hear the outside world, you can hear the traffic around you, people talking to you, a flight announcement at the airport. Press it again and noise cancellation comes back on, and it all without you having to take out the earphones that are already that you're already in your ears. The Bose Quiet Comfort 20s, they come with a special pouch so you can pack them away neatly. The pouch itself is about the size of an iPhone, so it's easy to pack in your bag and take with you wherever you go. There's also three different stay here tips so you can find the right fit. There's also two models. There's a QC20i, which is for the iPhone, so the controls respond properly for the iPhone control, volume and music navigation. There's also a regular QC20 with a, so you can be used with Android devices, BlackBerry and Windows phones. So it's got a different type of remote control. Both are priced at $399 as well. Now, if you're a fan of good sound, excellent noise cancellation, then $399, in my opinion, is worth every cent. Check out my review at techguide.com.au. You can see what star rating I gave this device. And you can check out some images as well at techguide.com.au.
Keeah you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
Well, it's another release from Google we're going to talk about next, and this is the Nexus 7 tablet. Now, when the Nexus 7, the original Nexus 7, hit the market late last year, it was inevitably compared to the iPad mini, which had also just been released. Now, the Nexus 7 is obviously a Google device, so it's running Android. The new model, though, is a vast improvement over last year's. Now, last year's model had only a 1280 by 800 resolution. That's been boosted this year to a full high definition of 1920 by 1200. That's more than 2.3 million pixels. And at a PPI, that's pixels per inch, of 323. So the difference between the sharpness and clarity of this year's screen to last year's screen is chalk and cheese. So text, images, web pages are really crisp and sharp and really easy to read. This is also the first Google device, or first device, naturally from Google, to run Google's latest Android 4.3 Jelly Bean operating system. Under the hood, a 1.5 gigahertz quad-core processor and 2 gig of RAM. Audio, too, is surround sound, or engineered by Fraunhofer. I think I've pronounced that correctly. They just happen to be the people who invented the MP3 format. So that's they've got some solid credentials there. There's also a front-facing 1.2 megapixel camera, 5 megapixel rear camera. It's also got a micro USB port for charging, 3.5 mm headphone jack as well. Comes in two capacities, 16 gig, 32 gig, priced at $299 and $339 respectively. Available now at JB Hi-Fi, Harvey Norman, Dick Smith, and other good retailers. And if you want to check out the photos, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
This year's help desk is, I was asked earlier this week about in-car cameras, and are they worth having in your car? Now, what I'm talking about are these devices that are mounted on your front windscreen that aim outside the car to capture any kind of incident. They react to sudden movements and forces and crashes, and so that if you have an accident or witness an accident, you've got a record then through this camera of the incident. So there are models available now from Navman, which we know from their GPS, the GPS manufacturer. Also Garmin, another company that makes GPS, that have jumped into this market too. Another company, Laser, I've reviewed some of their devices too, their in-car cameras as well. Now, these are only small devices. They fit sort of just below your rearview mirror, kind of out of sight. You won't really notice they're there. They're not very intrusive. But what they'll do, though, is if you are in an accident or some kind of incident where it's your word against the other driver, then you've got some solid evidence here that is admissible in court that can help either give your side of the story and hopefully put aside your side. If you are taken to court or there's some kind of decision that needs to be made, you've got evidence to back up your side of the story. You may dispute a police matter. You may have been fined or the police have made accuse you or pulled you over for an incident that you believe you weren't guilty of. You've also got this evidence to present exactly what was going on in your car or around your car. There are some products that face forward and back. Navman have a product that can do that. So you can not only film what's going on out the front of your car, but also behind your car as well, and some even film around your car. So some, for one use that I've heard of is a car with the in-car camera, which reacts to any sudden movement. So what had happened, this person had the in-car camera fitted in a shopping center car park, and a car backed into their car and triggered the camera to start filming, and it actually captured the number plate and the car that actually caused the damage, and they were able to pursue, take that up with the police, and that person was then able to get their car repaired using that other person's insurance. So people who don't leave a note, as you'd expect, on other people's cars, this is another way for you to protect yourself against that kind of thing and also save you some money. You know, if in normal circumstances, you would have had to put your hand in your pocket to fix that damage, but not so with an in-car camera. So I hope for that person who asked me that question, I hope that answers that question, why you'd need an in-car camera. Not only can it save you some money, it can also save you a little bit of stress if there is an incident that you've been a part of and that you've claiming your innocence. Now you've got evidence to back that up. And that's our show for this week. It went so fast. You can read about everything we've talked about in episode 62 on our website, techguide.com.au. We're updating that site every day, so please visit every day. You can check out all my new stories, my reviews and news stories. We'd also love to hear from you, so send us an email at info@techguide.com.au. And we're going to kick off something new with the Tech Guide podcast. For any of you listeners who hear my segment with Chris Smith on a Wednesday, we're also starting to accept questions through my app, VoiceBite. So if you have an iPhone, coming soon for Android for everyone who's asking, and iPhone at the moment, download the VoiceBite app, record in 15 seconds the question you'd like to ask me, and I will play your question live on my podcast and also live on 2GB and then answer that question. So that's one way you can get through to me. Download the VoiceBite app, and in the clip title, write #AskStephen, and you may hear your voice on my podcast and on my 2GB radio segment with my answer following closely behind. But you can also send us your help desk questions through the Tech Guide forum or on email. The special thanks too to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. We've enjoyed having your company once again. We look forward to catching up with you again next week. So in the meantime, stay safe and stay connected.